for my meal envelope selection, I chose the vegetarian option, which was the salsa enchilada.
I'm doing something. You hit skip ad.
With butter sliced walnut and corn beef.
I'm doing something.
Goat stew, beet potatoes.
Hardy. Could you hit skip ad?
What?
The ingredients were surprisingly fresh. And
Thank you.
Thank you. No problem.
The thing I studied in school is now a computer program, or an app, or whatever you call it. So you don't need to hire me. I'm fine with it. I understand its evolution. Everyone used to know how to make pots. Then only a few people could make pots for others, and then they transitioned to not needing those people at all because they made pot-making machines. That's the way it is with the thing I studied. I'm not going to tell you what it is. That's dumb. It could be anything. We stop being clever because someone else is willing to be clever for us. Then that person passes it on to a sculpture who promises to be clever for us. You say that sculpture is a machine. Is it? I can't see it working.
Mr. Cabbage was walking through the streets one day on a leisurely stroll, going nowhere in particular, when an astounding thing happened. A letter fell from the sky. It was the letter H. Someone has dropped their H, thought Mr. Cabbage. We can't have people going around dropping their H's. Someone is sure to be hurt. Mr. Cabbage began to inquire of people as they passed. Excuse me, have you dropped an H?
No,
the passerby responded.
I have not.
I beg your pardon, said Mr. Cabbage.
I said, and perhaps your hearing isn't too healthy, that I have not dropped any of me H's.
Well, I found this H, but I would also like to give you a red S.
Good day, said the passerby.
Mr. Cabbage stood there with the letter that had fallen from the sky, but this time he looked at it carefully. On the letter was writing. Dear Mabel, it began. Why, Mr. Cabbage thought,
this letter is a letter. I have...
If your car insurance is God, then I'm a God killer sent from the Transformed People Zoo. Lower rates, mere mortal.
And focused on the shape of it instead of the content.
Do the ads interrupt the songs, or do the songs interrupt the ads? Do the shows interrupt the songs? What are you going to listen to? I was thinking of listening to Hardy White speak on the radio. Hardy White, what's he do? Well, he just talks on the radio. Is it a sort of rant? What do you mean? Does he rant? I don't know. What's that? Well, I saw a guy on stage one time, and he was full of anger, and he was talking about how things should be. And he says, you know what we need more of is less cheese, or something like that. No, no, it's not that. He just speaks for a while. Does he say anything? Does he say anything? Nothing of import. In fact, I think he goes out of his way to have speech that has as little content as possible. Oh, it's not that the words are minimal, in that I don't say many. It's just the ones I say don't have a lot of meaning. Ooh, it's like you're spitting out a nondescript ottoman, Hardy. I'm trying to. Cushion. That's what drops from my lips are pillows. What shape are they? They're the square kind that you find on couches. Oh, so a mixed blessing. I think so. It's not quite big enough for anything. It's really, I think, designed for a ring. You put a ring on it and you say, hey, I'm the ring bearer. The ring bearer like Frodo? No, not like Frodo, like little Brian at the wedding. And who was the one that was throwing out the petals? I'm not sure right now. It turns out it was Aunt Doris's chimp. So I thought it was one of the cousins. They are cousins. Great apes are cousins. We're all cousins. We're all linked together, and I feel linked to you. We are like a human chain. Imagine if some great giant chose to wear us like pukas. Say, look at you going to be my puka beads. We're not puka beads. We're alive. We feel things. Just because we are tinier than you, giant, doesn't mean that we want to be your necklace. Or what are you making me do here now, hanging on to something? I'm not like a clip. I'm a person. And then the giant came to see our humanity. And he invited us to his table. And he made us a tiny little table for us. And a great big one for him. And then it turns out there was a giant even larger than himself. And that went on infinitely in every direction. And you say, what's the best part of that party to be at? If there's a infinite recursion of giants and little tiny people, I wonder where on the scale. They're all identical. Isn't that funny? No matter where you go on that sliding scale of Jack having dinner with the giant, if behind each of them is an infinitely smaller and infinitely bigger line, then yes, you have arrived at the right spot. What's that, Hardy? Right where you are right now. It was meant to be. It was predestined. I don't know if it's predestined, but let's say it was chosen in advance. By whom? By you in a time machine. Oh, your head explodes. I don't know what. We don't know what causes one thing. Scientists do, but I don't, because I want to live in a world of mystery. And so I deprive myself of knowledge. And everything is a mystery. Now you say, isn't that dangerous? No, it's dangerous when you start inserting your own interpretations onto things with no evidence. I think that's worse than just going, I have no idea how things work. If you purport to know, that's different. Say, oh, you know, no one knows why water acts the way it does. And say, well, yes, they do. And you cover your ears and go, blah, 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 blah. I don't want to know. I mean, it's not like I don't have a competing theory. I just have some other things in there. I have a limited amount of little sheets of paper in my mind palace. They came with the furniture. It's so funny. It's like when you go to a hotel and you open up the desk and there's stationery. And you go, what is this? Am I supposed to write a letter? It's like mist or something. So what's the hotel want me to do? It has a little pen and it has stationery. And what's this? A Bible. Ooh, you're trying to put together the clues. I'm supposed to write a letter to somebody about the Bible, but I don't know who. And you glimpse around the room. There's a painting, a print of someone hunting foxes. Perhaps I'm supposed to write British royalty about something or other. Dear sir, have you read the book of Daniel? Where did this letter come from? Says the Britisher who receives it. I don't know if that's a realistic scenario. But do we really want the realistic ones? So many people out there today, you know it's going to be a lie when someone says that. I speak to people and they tell me, that's another precursor to a lie. You know you're going to make some sweeping. I stay away. I find that, so I bought this book. I was just switching gears. It's not a brain problem. I know it seems like that. You go, Dear Hardy, I've been listening to your show, and I don't want to be presumptuous, but I am a psychiatrist, a medical doctor, and I think that you're having, there's something wrong with you. Thank you, dear kind person. No doubt. No, I don't know. That's not going to happen. Because of the Goldwater rule, it goes for everybody. You can't just phone someone up and say, I think you're a psycho. Beg your pardon. I may or may not be, but that's not for you to say. It's not for anybody to say, is it? I don't know. I think my mother, I'd let my mother tell me. Mom, am I crazy? No, of course not. You're handsome. That's what she would say. Thank you. I agree with you. Listen, perhaps I do overemphasize the sound of words. But I sat there and listened many an hour, and believe me, church services are an hour, to preachers. Now, I've been to all denominations and religions, really, and heard clergy deliver, and they have different words for this speech that you're forced to listen to. And it is usually in varying forms, they are at varying levels of what do you call it when you're articulate? Obviously, I'm not on that scale. You know, some of them speak beautifully and poetically, and others drone on and are boring, and you feel like you're listening to some kind of high school report. Now, there are of course, techniques for doing it well and engaging people. Now, not everybody, especially if it's a morning, it's a weekend morning or something, and somebody is speaking to you about religious matters or philosophical matters, it's mighty hard to stay focused and awake. And so, a lot of times, they'll, you know, do like the yell whisper technique, which is beautiful. It's called, I call it pianoforte. I made that up. And so you get quiet, you get loud, you adjust the dynamics. And there was a shampoo company.
If you want to get someone's attention, whisper, usual whisper.
I beg your pardon?
Whisper about our shampoo.
What is your shampoo about? What is it? What's the name of it? Well, now you all have to speak louder than that if you want people to remember it and buy it. So I don't know. That's why I don't remember the name. I remember the ad campaign, but not the name of the shampoo. And that's because you're paying attention maybe and remembering are two different things. I don't know if this is the case. Dear Hardy, recently on your show, you asked if paying attention and... No, we don't need to resolve that. Not everything has to be resolved. If you were listening to the beginning of the show, click, you heard things being interrupted. Now, what's interruption about? Is that the theme of your show today, Hardy? Okay. No, I'm asking. It's fine. No, that's fine. Interruption's fine. Is it the theme that you intended, though? Yeah. Are you sure? Yes, go ahead. All right. So, interruption. When something is interrupted like that, and we feel it's jarring, we say, I was grooving on the song, and then the song ended, or the sentence you were speaking hard, it didn't get to the end, and we feel as if we've been deprived of something. Now, let's say that our attention has shifted away from what we were speaking about to something that we deem more important. Now, this happens. This can happen when you hit an iceberg or something like that. You say, as you know, I'm quite a big fan of Coleridge. Oh, what's this? So it's completely legitimate to sort of change your train of thoughts. People change literal trains all the time, don't they? Have to get off at a different subway stop. I thought this was an express. Oh, no. Few thoughts are an express. Most thoughts are a meandering route somewhere, or, like a subway, the best possible route, not the most efficient one. And sometimes you have to visit one train more than once because you make a mistake. So you got to say, where was I? And say, oh, you got to go back to platform A on this thing. It isn't a game, is it? It isn't. Is it a game? It's a game, but not in the fun way. Well, that's most games, I guess, isn't it? I feel like life is a game, but one that a board game that you're forced to play by younger relatives. And you go, oh, I don't know. They go, come on, Uncle Hardy. Okay. That's what it's been for me so far. I like it. You know, it's as you do it grudgingly, but still, you go, this isn't terrible. You know, I don't want to go out. I don't want to go out early, but on the other hand, I'm not going to be like crushed, I don't think. Some people really get into the games, though. We're all games. I love that. Go ahead and get into it. I do and I don't. I'm detached. I have one foot in and one foot out. I think I'd be like that for any. If I was in prison, God forbid, I think I would at least stick one of my feet out of any kind of window I could find. Say, well, my foot is out there. I got one foot in freedom, and I got one foot not so free. I don't know if I'm able to do it. I don't know where they put the windows. Probably not below my waist, which would be the only way I'd reach it. I should start stretching now in case I'm imprisoned, because I want to get that foot over my head and out that tiny window. I saw a film, and I think it was Bob Bresson or one of those. It's like not even a person. You know, one of those filmmakers. It's like an algae. And it was about a man in prison who broke out. I think it was called that. And he broke out of prison by stringing some mattress, made a rope out of mattress. How about that? And the easy part was the mattress was originally made out of rope, so he just took it apart. I may be misremembering. I'm not sure whether he weaved it. It doesn't matter. It took a while. How long's the movie? Oh, the movie was days and days long. And it was condensed time. I think it was supposed to be years. I mean, how long does it take to make a rope? I don't think I could sit down and, even if you said, get up every day, start making your bed rope, I don't think I could do it. There are so many things that while we could literally do them, will we ever? Hardy, what's the thing that you wish you could have done or would do, but you know you're not going to? I would say any task well. Maybe. Is that too much? I go, no, you do lots of things well. Do I, though? I don't know if I do or not. I don't feel as focused as I'd like to be all the time. That's probably my brain. And I don't know how responsible I should be for that. How focused do you want me? Because it might take, you might not like that, Hardy. Say, I want you more alert. Well, I'm going to have to, first of all, you're going to have to score me some kind of thing to alert me up. Because I'm not, you know, natural me, kind of sleepy. And I go for spurts, though. You know, I've got little pockets of energy early in the morning where I'm intolerable. And then as the day goes on, I'm just, people notice it at jobs and everything. I go, are you still into it? And I go, I never was. But I mean, what you're perceiving is just me being tired. But yeah, no, I don't like the job, but that's not it. It's just low energy past 11. I don't know, 6 a.m. to 11, I'm like, but that's 5 hours. You can get a lot done, right? So I guess in a past life or something, I did something early. You were a morning DJ or something. How about that? And then I was executed because it was in the Middle Ages. It wasn't recently, I don't think. Because I remember going to the studio, but it was like a roundhouse made of mud and straw and everything. And I would go to the studio early and I go, oh boy, I got to do this morning show. And it was commercial. So I'd get the lists of all the people that, you know, there was a lot. So they didn't have cars back then. Oh, it's a lie. They didn't have radio back then. You're missing the biggest part there, Hardy. I know. I wonder what that could have been. I wonder what the memory is. How about it's just wrong? That could be. Maybe this is my first life. I feel like it is. You got to start somewhere, right? People that say, I don't know if other people have past lives. I have no way of knowing that. I could make some. But I know I probably haven't because I don't remember. And none of this seems familiar. I have to be honest. I look around and I go, man, this is odd. And things keep happening, and I'm always surprised. Some of the things I've grown used to, like I know sort of what's going to happen mostly with, you know, friends and the dogs and everything. But other things are just astounding to me. No, I don't think I've experienced this before. It can't be. Also, I remember the first 20 years I did particularly poorly. So there's no way that could have been my second or go round, even much less like my 10th or anything. Yeah, I think I'm new to this, and it'd be nice to get a second chance because I think it's going to be like that day, the day I die, I'll think, yes, oh, now I've got it figured out. And so, well, it's too late. Is it though? Because then you order that one last, you order like a perfect sandwich because you got it all figured out. So I know I have like maybe 2 hours left, but I got an appetite for some reason. And so I know exactly what to order. I'm not going to equivocate for 2 seconds. It won't take me like, oh, well, we're going to get Thai. No, I know it. I know what I want. I know where I'm going to order from. And I know what sandwich. And if I came back, I'm not sure it'd be that easy. Because I might be in a different neighborhood. And I'd have to learn the sandwich shops all over again. Hardy picked up the menu and looked at it. It didn't look familiar. He knew he had lived this life many times before, because in the multiverse, all these lives are lived together multiple times, menus merged together. What's this big book of lives and menus? What are we going to order this time? It tells you what you had recently. Have I had this dish? No, Hardy, this life is not yours. Have I had this dish? No, this experience is not yours. Have I seen these people? Have I touched these hearts? What have I done? Don't worry. There is no reckoning, I don't think. I don't think I'm going to have to be debriefed. If I am, I'm in a bit of trouble, depending on what they wanted. If I had to do an interview after I was gone, and I think this is highly, highly unlikely. If I had to do one, and the worst kind would be as an animated corpse, but I imagine just as a spirit if I had to do one, sort of be debriefed by some creator or something, or a saint. I'd feel a little bone. I go, I can't speak to the creator. No. All right, go on, Saint Rock or whoever they sent. They would say, what have you done with your life? And I say, look, I don't know. I mean, what do you mean? Like, I don't even understand the question. What was I supposed to do? I think that's what you're implying. You're implying that there were certain things I was supposed to do, certain marks I was supposed to hit. But I don't know what they are. You can't have me guess at them and then ask me if I've done everything. It's like getting a job. And they're not going to tell you what the duties of the job are. You just got to show up every day. And they won't tell you the job description or what's required of you or what gets you fired or what gets you promoted. And then after a period of time, they're going to ask you, well, do you think you did a good job? And you'd be like, dude, what do you mean? I don't know. I mean, like some of the other people on the job were trying to tell me what they thought my job was and all. But I don't know. I was waiting for the boss to tell me. Because who are they? They don't know. That's like learning. It's like learning sex ed from your playground friends or something. You're probably not going to get super good advice or info, intel. And so I don't know what I will say in that interview. Perhaps you could help me. That's what we'll do. We're going to pretend that you are Saint Vitus, not St. Vitus, St. Peter, who I don't know who runs the gate. And I am just recently dead. Like, I don't know. There's films like this where people do that. And so I'm recently dead. And you're going to interview me in 5, 4, cut to the 1. Hello, today. I am recently dead. Am I supposed to speak with you? Yes, I'm Saint so-and-so. Pick a particular saint. I'll give you a minute to think about it. That's how I think if improv had timeouts, you'd go, time out. I got to think of I'm thinking of a saint. The reason I timed out is because I don't want it to go by. I want to think of a good one. I think it's worth the wait. It's like stopping a song to tune. I think I got to tune up here. Let's see. Let's think of a good one. Who's a good saint? Oh, I know, Saint Tropez. Is that one? So, Saint Tropez, I guess, would be the translation. I'm Saint Tropez, and I'm doing the debriefing today. Oh, it's nice to meet you, Saint Tropez. My name's Hardy White. I'm recently deceased. I'm the decedent, and I'm here. I was understood that you had to interview me or ask me some questions about my life, and I love to talk about myself. And now I have perfect 20/20 because I've got nothing but hindsight. So I'll be able to look at myself objectively. I got nothing to lose. I got no more horse in the dog. So this fight's over for me, buddy, and I can speak about it. So go ahead, San Moritz, and ask me, Trini Lopez. Go ahead, Trini Lopez, and ask me a question. All right. 1, what were some things you enjoyed about life? Oh, gosh. It was context, you know? I mean, I could say some greasy plate of fries if it was at the right time. It was all about context. It was all about contrast. So, you know, a little tiny bit of kindness could be an immense joy if it was provided to me in a time of grief or challenge. You understand? So I don't know. A lot of the little things were big to me. A lot of big things were little because maybe if I'm depressed in the middle of a great party, I miss out on all the fun and the joy, you see. So a great grand thing, even though I was there, I may have missed entirely. So I can't answer your questions. Yeah,
I enjoyed some things, but I can't tell you particularly what they were. I felt maybe just as much pain. I didn't really quantify it. I wasn't writing it down. I wasn't keeping score. I mean, if I look back, I don't know if it was even. I'd say maybe I felt more joy than pain, but I really don't know. Maybe I'm fooling myself. And then the saint looked back at me and he said, "You're going to kill me, but I was checking some mail and I did not hear you. And I know that you were saying things and I'm sorry. I should have stopped you earlier. Can we start over again? One, what are some things that you enjoyed about life? Pizza. Two, would you say that you did anything or accomplished anything worth noting? Well, I don't know about that either. I know that you can, some very small... stop saying these things. Everything's relative. We get it. Dismissed. Go. There's a bench with your name on it. I'm done. Interview over. Oh my gosh, man. Just make some stuff up. You know, do you think you did anything? I don't know. Who knows? I don't know. I think some of those questions we ask for ourselves, sometimes we think there's somebody inside of us that's paying attention. I really do think most of the time that the default for most people, or for me, is to BS. Only because you really think, well, you know, I'm used to doing it for parents, and then you get used to do it for authority figures, you know, telling people what they want to hear or making stuff up or whatever. And then, you know, if you have a vision of the Creator, God, in your head, you think, well, man, I don't want God to think I'm not, like, thinking about other people. So you just say these things to yourself. And then when you say something realistic like, oh, you know, sometimes I don't care, you think, oh, all the voices in my head are hearing me. Somebody's listening to me say these things. I will be thought to be selfish or something like that. Oh, gosh. Sometimes we're selfish and sometimes we are not. Okay, I'm inconsistent and I interrupt myself and I stop myself. So sometimes, that's the whole thing. I play all sorts of songs on this emotional station. Sometimes I'm not compassionate. Sometimes I might be angry. When I'm angry, a lot of times I will interrupt the song and there'll be an ad for something else and I'll move on to something. So I don't mind interruptions. I do not mind not seeing something through to the end. Some things aren't worth seeing through to the end. It's great to change paths, to meander, to walk away from things for a while. I have a singularity of vision, Hardy. I'm focused on a goal. Yes, but what if you look down and the road's gone and you're standing there like a cartoon character who is only suspended by his own lack of self-knowledge, by his own self-delusion? That was the only thing keeping him in the air. And now he looks down, he gets a realistic picture of things and he plunges down into the gorge. Probably not to his death because he's made of ink. And ink can withstand an impact. But when you have your eye on the goal like that, put your eyes on your feet sometimes. And if there's a path, they'll always be on it. And you say, well, I want to look up, make sure I know where I'm going. And do, because sometimes things are low. There's low pipes and you could bump right into it and hurt yourself. I've seen so many friends who are tall hit their heads on things rather dramatically. Have you ever seen that friend who's like really tall and you're walking through it and they dramatically hit their head on a pipe or something? I mean, to the point where everybody's terrified. And that's happened more than once to find, or stand up and they gash their head open or something. And you think, God, I should only hope to be tall when I'm outside, because what if I had gotten my wish? It'd be me hitting my head. So I don't really wish for anything change in my stature or appearance. I think, well, maybe I'm designed for a particular moment, right? I watch the movies. I know that maybe sometimes, now I thought this about Poseidon Adventure. First of all, there was a movie called Poseidon Adventure. It didn't have anything about it. It wasn't an adventure. It was a terrifying ordeal. Poseidon wasn't in it. I mean, he was in a way, if you want to say the ocean angry ocean is a god. It isn't. It's just the ocean. But they're on this cruise ship, these folks, and this terrified me because my grandparents had taken me on a cruise very young. So I recognized this whole thing. And then Shelley Winters and Jack Albertson played my grandparents. In my head, they did, at least. So what? To make a long story short, there's a song that's played at a party on the cruise. And the song is so cloying, the boat capsizes. It goes booty over teacups like that. Flips. Everything flips, which is terrifying. So everybody starts falling onto the ceiling. And I think because of this song, sad, sappy song. So some people, most people perish almost immediately, except for Ronnie McDowell, Malcolm McDowell, Ronnie McDowell et al. I won't go through the whole cast. I didn't prepare for this. I didn't think I was going to be talking about it, frankly. So they're trying to escape. But anyway, it comes one point where Shelley Winters, despite her appearance as a young person, was an expert underwater swimmer. And so they need something that's underwater. So I dropped something. So I'll go get it, she says. Or I'll open the hatch, or I don't know. So she swims down there because she's the swimmer. And I felt like that. I say, maybe I have some talent, like cracking my knuckles or something, that we'll need if there's a disaster. You and I, we fall down a well. And there's something on the wall. It's some reference to Shelley Winters. And go, I know the answer to that. That's probably more like that. I'm going to win us a TV trivia contest thing at a bar, and we all get a beer. But it might be something more like life-saving like that. Like we're trapped by a wizard. And the wizard's into little facts like that. Movies. Irwin Allen and all the wizard is into. Disasters. So I'm your person there. Because I'm afraid of all those things. And so I know about that. I've learned. They say learn about things that you are afraid of. So that your fears can be more specific. More colorful. In focus. Have more detail. And that's true. A lot of things I feared, I found out, were not irrational fears. They were real things that happened to people. And in many cases, it turns out that I didn't even fear them enough. You know, because once I gained more knowledge about, let's say, sinkholes, I just realized how nightmarish that whole phenomenon was. And that it was, not super uncommon. Especially where I lived. So there you go. Learn about your fears. It'll make you more fearful. Ba-dum-bum. Or not. I don't know. It doesn't hurt to learn. Ba-dum-bum. It might. I don't know what books. I enjoyed this book. But I don't know. Maybe it's propaganda for some evil way of thinking. Ba-dum-bum. So don't listen to me. And I'm a child. Apparently. Reincarnated, 3 years old. That could be too. Oh gosh, I never even thought about that. It could be my 10th life, but I never made it past like a few months. Oh, that's tragic. So maybe I don't remember anything. So I remember being a child. That's why I'm so childish. I have a lot of practice being an infant. I have solved the problem of your middle-aged infantilism, Hardy. What is it? You are a very experienced baby. Really? What if it turns out, I don't like to be bragging, what if it turns out that I've been a baby more than anybody ever? But I've been a baby a billion times. Can you imagine that? Wow. Just a baby. Though that's why I get so many times in, because I don't waste time anything being past a baby. And so I've only been a baby. I have a baby soul. I'm a old baby soul. So when I cry when I'm hungry, it's a cry of 10,000 years of empty stomachs and desires. And and not knowing and being new to things. I don't fear things as much as I used to. I used to have, this is why I have so many friends in the radio world. Oh, friends, I tell you, come on, hold me close. This is what you sense. I'm full of anxiety, just like you. I used to have trouble going places and everything. Going, be people, or only if there'd be people around, or buildings, or objects, or anything. But especially parties. And I've always had friends. I love people, but just takes it takes me a while to get over fear. So when I meet people, I'd be sort of paralyzed. And you know, I don't. A lot of things have changed. And what is it? What changed you? Well, I read a couple books, and I don't. And I think coincidentally, like hormones changed or something. I don't know. I don't attribute it to anything I learned. I think I just physically changed. Because, you know, when I was having anxiety and things, I didn't think anything. I couldn't reason myself out of it, you know. It's just sometimes just a physical feeling. A lot of times I've just, a change in my life, I think I'm just physically different now, maybe. Because I don't really feel like my soul's any different or I'm wiser. I really don't feel that. Sometimes it's just the appearance of being wiser or something. I don't know, really. You'd think I'd have figured more things out as I get older. Here's the thing. So I get older. When I've said, oh, you might have figured more things out. I am losing my desire to figure things out at the same time as I have more information. So now I might have more stories and information, but I don't care to make sense of it. Well, do it for the children. Oh, the children, that's half the fun. No, you make sense of it. I could have gotten it all wrong. I got to depend on my senses. Look at me. Look me in the eye. Look me in the eye. Look me in the ear. Look at my ears right now. You'd look at my voice. Look at the sound of my voice right now. And you tell me that my senses are accurate, that I am seeing the world accurately, that I'm hearing it accurately, that I am thinking in a rational, linear way, that I am getting from point A to point B. Oh, no, my friends. I am not getting from point A to point B. I left point A, yes. Oh, I left it years ago. Oh, my eyes look forward, but they see things an inch in front of them, a mile away from them, all at the same time in a blurry mishmash of experience. I hear all the things I've always heard. I hear everything I've ever heard. All at once in a loud cacophony, symphony. You just don't hear how the sounds complement one another. You can't hear the harmony in that interval. But even the ones that sound dissonant aren't. They are part of a beautiful chord that has come together through all of my... What are you saying? Nothing much, am I? Nothing much at all. When I tout the sound of words being equal to or greater than the meaning of them, people will remind me about songs and their powerful poetic meaning in the words and everything. And I remind them that there are great songs like the doo-doo-wah-wah song. Doo-doo-wah-wah, everybody saying it. Doo-doo-wah-wah, wee-wee-pa-pa-poo-poo. I mean, I that's not real, but, you know, there's songs like that, aren't there? When I was reading about different types of mysticism, I was reading about Jewish mystical meditation, specifically stuff that went on in the, I think, probably the Middle Ages. The books purport to be from earlier, but they're clearly written probably Southern Europe, south of France, Middle Ages. But one of the techniques of meditation was sort of putting different vowels against the consonants in the four-letter name of God, which is Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. So, you know, you'd be like, I don't know, I'm not going to do it because I don't want to probably make an angel. And then what am I going to say? I'm so sorry. You summoned me here. Okay, sorry. I was just messing around. I was just dabbling. But I noticed that there was another song that did the same thing. B-A-Bay, B-E-B, B-I-Bicky-Bye, B-O-Bo, Bicky-Bye-Bo, B-U-Boo, Bicky-Bye-Bo, Boo, Dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum, C-A-Say, C-E-C, C-I-Sicky-Sigh, C-O-So, Sicky-Sigh-So, C-U-Soo, Sicky-Sigh-So, Soo, Bum-dun, Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, D-A-Day, D-E-D. I modulated, didn't I? I hope I got a full step. That's me doing the Three Stooges swinging the alphabet, which I think is a sort of meditation. But there's not really any literal words in there, are there? And yet it's, does it have meaning? What's meaning, friend? I mean, I've experienced something. A painting can have what? Either meaning or emotional impact or something? How they're different somehow? Is that what you're saying? I don't know, man. I don't know mankind. I don't even know myself, really. And yet I'll come here on the radio and say to you, hey, I know you, because I must know myself a little bit. Because when I'm in your presence, I feel like it's familiar. Maybe I recognize the fear or the eagerness to love or to share. Somebody came by my house to fix something as the cable net thing, wire. And a fella came in and he's called the company and he was on hold for a half hour. So we had a half hour to chat about all the things in my basement. And it was rather nice. And I liked having to talk to somebody that I never would. I mean, it's not like we're from different walks of life or anything, but I mean, I just don't, the individual here, I probably would not run into him, I don't know. So here's somebody I got a chance to talk to, another human being who's at work. That can always be lousy. You don't know what kind of day, what he's going home to. And so when I meet somebody like that, I try to think, well, this moment might be special for both of us. Who knows? I realize that that's probably nuts. But this whole thing is so short. And people can be so beautiful, you know? I mean, there's something sometimes that we see the worst of them, yeah. And some of them, I don't know what to tell you. But a lot of times, you know, there's something in there, too. You know, what you're seeing is fear. Oh, you're seeing the fear, the messiness of, fear, what fear does when it grows. Oh, grows a monster. Oh, the big ugly thing that grows, been growing in there. I had a friend who lived in a rundown apartment. He wasn't there a lot. You know, he's got had a business across town or something, and it's never cleaned his bathroom, and there was things growing out of the mushrooms growing out of the wall, stuff growing out of it. It was unattended. No one was there paying attention to it. It was left to rot and to things to grow there on their own. This is what, when you abandon something, the human soul, when you leave it untended, when you let it fester in fear, it can start getting ugly. Things grow out of it. It gets all big horns on its head. Not really, not literally. But that does happen. I've seen, I haven't seen people with horns. That's not true. But cattle. I don't think the cattle are bad or have been bad. I take all that back. The horns are neutral, now that I'm thinking about it. What isn't, though? I guess if somebody has big... None of this is literal. It would be on a spiritual level that they would have mushrooms growing out of their top of their head. Only spiritually. And that's from, you know, I don't know what it's from. I'm just glad that I'm so weak that I allow other human beings to let them in. You know, I'm not afraid of them anymore. I see siblings now where I saw a threat. And I feel foolish now. I spent so much of my time being afraid of people. Now I look at them and, you know, I get all warm inside. I get excited to see people, you know? Maybe because all the time I've wasted being afraid. And now I see the potential to bring some joy to one another. It's so great. Oh, my friends, we're together here. I hope, I wonder, are you on a long car trip? If you have an hour drive, say, Hart, I got an hour drive. I ran out of your shows a long time ago doing my hour commute.
Oh, I never even thought about that.
Should I do a daily hour show? No. I don't want to get tired of you. It's like eating marmalade every morning. You can't do that. Eat marmalade every morning. It's going to lose its novelty. Well, it has no novelty to some people. It's just a breakfast food. I hear you. So what are you saying?
I'm not sure. I don't think I could do a show every day. Can you imagine? Maybe once a couple, every couple of years or something. I know I do it weekly now, but I feel like a yearly or even maybe every 6 years would be. Maybe I could do, if I did 15 minutes every 6 years. First of all, I would start on it the night before. I'm not sure it'd be any better. I can't, it's hard for me to plan. It's not in my neurology to actually be able to think about something until it's, a problem. It's a looming thing to me. I don't know, it's hard. I try, but I get distracted by other things. I get interrupted by ideas. I get interrupted by observations. I look at things. I want to stop and talk to somebody. I know that I am on the way to the baker's house, and I'm supposed to be there for lunch. But along the way, I met someone selling rags, and we began to talk, and the rag seller said I wasn't always a rag seller. Once I was an explorer, and I went to the center of the earth, and I found a plant there that could cure all disease. And instead of stealing the plant, I looked around, and I said, "Excuse me, is this a plant available for people to take?" And the person there said, "No, I'm very sorry. It has to stay here at the middle of the earth." And that's it. I don't know what to tell you. They've got one, though, so maybe we have one up here. And we began to look around for the plant that healed everything. And if that hadn't happened, if I had gone straight to the baker's house, I would have missed the rag seller. And did you find the plant? No. So how is that important? Touché. I guess I should have gone to the baker's house. But the feeling that I can't describe to you, the feeling of excitement and hope that came with thinking that maybe we'd find the plant that cured all disease. I mean, ultimately we didn't, right? You know, but when I was just walking to the baker's house, I didn't have that crazy sense that maybe we could change everything, you know? So it was a hope. I was high on hope. I'm sorry about that, you know, but I'm always looking for, what if things had gone differently? We had found the plant or something. You don't know. I guess we were never meant to find it. But the baker, he didn't depend on me for dinner anyway, and I called and I apologized, and he understood, and we've rescheduled. Oh, my friends, I hope I can reschedule with you. What does that mean? It means that I hope that should I never show up for something, is this literal? I'm just saying, let's say you book me or something for a show and I have a panic attack. I apologize. As long as there's no money involved. I mean, is there any harm? I mean, nobody paid, did they really yet? I was at the door. So we're still good, I guess is what I'm saying. I'm going to try to make it. I know that now you don't want me anymore. That hasn't quite happened. It's almost happened. They have offered me shows, and I go, I don't, you know, I can, getting there will be an adventure. I will try. You know, all I can do is sort of give you probability. I'm like a real particle. I'm a quantum particle or something. Hardy will be somewhere, maybe. 70% chance, something like that. Who knows? Who knows? I feel like that with about just about everything. It's a probability of it happening. And I know that's maybe a chaotic way to live life, but I don't think it is. I think it's perfectly in harmony with the roiling, changing, ever-bubbling pool of possibilities that we live in. Don't you think? Oh, my friends. I tell you what. We're going to meet here like this all the time. I think this is a great place to meet and a great place to get interrupted. So why would we meet at such a busy place?
So that's just the thing. You know, we'll be talking, and then you know we're going to get interrupted. There's going to be something to go by. Like one time, a dog grabbed hold of a balloon, and it was pulling him off the ground. And so he floated by. It didn't pull him up into space or anything. He was just about 3 feet off the ground, and he floated by, and there was a guy behind him in a bowler chasing after him and yelling the dog's name, which was Shrimp Cocktail. And then after them, there was a parade of ducks, and I don't know what that was about. And stuff like that just happens when we're out in a busy, busy place. And then John Wick stabbed a guy with a pencil in the neck right next to us when we're at that bar. Do you remember that? And then it got a little bit of blood in your Negroni, and you're going, this is now called a John Wick. And I said, that's brilliant. You're brilliant. Except I would use V8 instead of the blood of an international assassin. And so that's how we came up with that. And that's chance, right? It's allowing to be interrupted, allowing yourself to be interrupted, not counting on linear things, not counting on stories to finish or things to go where they're supposed to go. Look, I'm not taking you on any I'm not fooling you. You know there is meaning to what I'm saying. I'm pretending there isn't, but you know I'm making a point about meandering, about interrupting. You know I'm not just ranting. Oh, no. It takes you this long. But all the things I said I meant because out of love, out of love and letting go. Some things you have to let go of. And one of the things, if you're immortal, if you're just immortal, it always says like I'm saying immortal. If you're are you saying a mortal or immortal? I'm saying if you're immortal, then you know that you're going to end in the middle of something. Whatever it is, you're not going to finish it. I mean, it's highly unlikely that the moment of your death, you will have dotted the last I or period or whatever, that you have tied everything up, that there is nothing left that you want to or need to do. No movie sequel that you're desperate to see. None of that. That is rare. That will probably not happen. You will probably leave in the middle of something, whether it's organizing your sock drawer. Say, I just watched all those Mrs. Kondo things. And that is not the person's name. Mrs. Kondo. It's the last name I got right, but it's Marie. And she tells you how to fold clothes, right? Am I right? I don't know about her. That's really weird. I was thinking more like a cartoon character, like Mr. Toaster or something like that. So I was thinking of a literal apartment building that you buy. But that's not. It's a human that does that now that I'm thinking about it. But you could be in the middle of learning something like that or fly fishing. You bought all the fly fishing equipment, but today the Grim Reaper comes for you. If you are like me and you are used to maybe that, yeah, the point not being to actually go fly fishing, that you got so much pleasure in just buying the fly fishing equipment that that's enough, you won't be disappointed when the hooded figure comes by. You'll go like, buddy, it was going to be something that wasn't going to get finished. I probably wasn't going to finish it anyway. There's a 99% chance I never would have gone fly fishing. Something else would have caught my attention, and I would have moved on. Oh, look at the birds as they fly from one tree to the next. Look at the grasshopper as it hops from one area into another area or on top of something like a twig or a piece of grass. What can we learn from these humble creatures that we watch upon nature? The tree, the humble tree, as it travels from one area of the yard to the other, as you are mildly tripping. Did I move to the... You know what happens? I think I just went and sat at the other end of the yard, and I don't remember it. That could be, too. It's a lot of it is perspective, whether something changes or not. And whether I have changed much in my years here on Earth... I'm sure I've radically since, like I said, since the baby years is what I call them. The baby years went from 0 to 27, something like that. And then I'm, you know, and then I found, oh, I'm getting a little bit better at this. You know, not much, but a little bit better. And then I felt like I'm a little bit better at this, but a little more things hurt. And so I think it's all going to, that's going to be the new trend. And I'm ready. I've lived around people. That's a good thing. I've lived around people of all ages. Old people, I've had people model all kinds of behavior for me. I'm good to go. There's nothing that's going to surprise me about these last years of my life. Nothing at all. I've been around plenty of people, watched them live. There's all sorts of things that can happen to you. It's great. And a lot of them I've witnessed. And here we go. You know, maybe I can be loved the way I love them. And we all just keep loving and doing stuff and waking up every day kind of ignorant and self-deluded. I love it. I'm loving this. I'm going to self-delude like I never have before in a great way. I'm going to fool myself into being help to people. That's what it's going to be, to being useful sometimes. And then other times, not so much, because I don't have to be constantly useful. That's a burden. But I can be a little bit. I don't mind. I'll try. I'm trying. I'm doing my thing. I'm pretending to make progress. And so I think just keep on. Every day you get up and you tell him, if you don't know something, you just said, well, Hardy said, like that, and then make something up. I don't have to have said it. It's okay. I pre-approve this. It's like a little note. You are allowed to leave alcohol at this address. I'm passing that note to you. They don't work, man, because I'll tell you what, I don't always have my license on me. If there's a fella from the liquor store comes around, he goes, you need anything? And it's just like an Ozu movie. It's neat. And I go, no, okay. But they make you, even though it's clearly by now, you know, I'm old enough to occasionally get a little bottle of something. They still want to see my identification. Fair enough. A note is not enough. Sometimes you got to be there with a picture of yourself. You are listening to Americans. You like that? Let me try it again. Sometimes you have to present the date of your birth. Because they want to, I should have quit earlier. You are listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in New York City, New York and Rockland County, New York, and online at WFMU.org worldwide on the internet. Can you believe it? Oh, my goodness, my friends. You are so good to me in this radio station, this beautiful WFMU, listener supported, listener loved. We hold it up. Stiff as a board, light as a feather. Stiff as a board, light as a feather. That's what we say. This ain't heavy. This is my radio station. We are family, you and I. This is our station. Is it mine? Sure, it's yours too. I haven't given any money. It's yours too. Go ahead. Stand with us. We'll get something out of you later. It's don't worry about that. But right now, yes, you are wanted here. Come on in. The radio wants you. Look, it's so crazy. It can't judge. It can't turn you away. Radio has to take you. It is. It has to open its arms. It has to open your doors to you. It's the law of the universe. The radio has to take you. If you ask, I asked to enter. Come on in. You have to come on just with your ears, not the physical space. Come on in. And listen, and you are wanted, and you belong here. You belong. This is I already did the ID. That would have been the space to do it too. All right, bye.
And I, Lord, I We want to welcome you to the Center's Crossroads Gospel Broadcast. If you are tired and weary, a little worn, you might find something in this broadcast to help you on your way. We invite you now to stay tuned for this glorious gospel broadcast, the Sinner's Crossroads Gospel Broadcast. On the W, the F, the M, and the U.
About me, Father, please, Lord, and see about me, Jesus. You know that I'm way far and by. Oh, Lord, come on, Father, come on, please, Lord, please, Lord, and see about me. I have no loved ones, my friends are so few, sometimes I don't know what to do, but I know that I'm
way down here,
Lord. Oh, Lord, come on, come on, come on, please come on, come on.
About me.
When I lost my father, it made me feel so bad. When I lost my mother, children, I lost all I had. They left me
way down here.
You see that I'm
by myself.